Okay, if you've been alive in the U.S. for the last 25 years, you've no doubt at least caught a glimpse of Apu. He's the owner of a convenience store on The Simpsons. And recently you may have heard of The Problem with Apu. It's a new documentary by comedian Hari Kondabolu, who, like many South Asians who have watched and enjoyed The Simpsons, was upset by this character. It's not just that Apu is a stereotype of South Asians, it's also that he's voiced by a white guy. We'll hear from Hari Kondabolu later this week on The World, but of course, it's not just about Apu. There's a broader conversation going on about so-called whitewashing in the world of voice acting, white actors playing non-white characters. As The World's Rupa Shenoy reports, though, the industry's changing, and one actress in particular is feeling the impact.
Moana, the main character of Disney's movie, Moana, grows up on a Polynesian island surrounded by people who accept and include her.
You are the next great chief of our people.
And you'll do wondrous things, my little minnow.
Oh, yes. But first, you must learn where you're meant to be.
G.K. Bose had pretty much the opposite experience growing up in the tiny town of Weed in Northern California.
Everyone had their place and knew who they were, except for me.
Bose has roots in lots of places, including in the Polynesian region. People take her for a lot of ethnicities. And when she was a kid, that meant she didn't fit in anywhere.
Every day, I prayed to God before I went to bed that I would wake up with blonde hair and blue eyes, that he would make me white. Because I thought, if God must not like me because I'm brown, and because I'm treated so poorly by everybody.
She felt like she found another version of that in Hollywood when Bose was trying to become an actor. She says casting directors wanted her to fit into just one category.
I tried it. I tried identifying as an African-American woman for a while when I first started acting. Awful. I felt like such a fraud.
Voice acting seemed different. Bose saw a white woman voicing the character of a young black boy, and at first she thought that was weird. But then Bose realized that also gave her permission to be whatever she wanted to be.
I could be whatever. I could be a unicorn. I could be a pony. I could be a princess. I could be a dragon.
Or she could be Barbie. And for years, Bose was the official voice of Barbie.
Getting to do blonde hair, blue-eyed Barbie, I was like, oh, maybe this is God's little way of answering that prayer. You know, all these years later.
But lately, things seem to be changing. Bose says casting directors seem to care now about finding voice actors of the same ethnicity as the characters they're playing.
You know, I recently auditioned for, you know, a character that's African-American, and they even called my agent and they said, is GK African-American? Because we really liked her for this character, but we really want to cast an African-American for this character. We know she's Polynesian, but can she, you know, authentically say? And I was just like, ugh. Why can't she be Polynesian?
That, though, is just one anecdote.
I think anecdotes are humorous. But I like to refer to that in this phrase that I often use, which is called adventures in missing the point. When you focus on anecdotes, you miss the real reality.
Stacey Smith and her team do a yearly analysis of representation in the top 100 films. They're at the University of California, Annenberg. And Smith says, overall, Hollywood's progress has been minuscule. One example, of the top 100 films last year, 34 had a female lead or co-lead. Just 3 of the women who played those leads were from underrepresented groups.
I wish it was a different, you know, a different pattern based on our data, but our data present a fairly condemning picture of the lack of motivation and follow through of this very progressive Hollywood community.
Their numbers show in 2010, of the animated films that made the top 100 movies, 1.5% of characters came from underrepresented groups. In 2016, that shot to nearly 49%, but only because of 2 films focused on underrepresented groups. One was Moana.
My name is Osnat Schurer, and I am a producer at Walt Disney Animation Studios, most recently of the movie Moana.
Schur says across the board for all its films, Disney's trying harder to find voice actors who can authentically represent the characters they're playing.
We're making movies for the whole world, and it's not that easy, actually, to convey in the right way the essence of a character.
For Moana, they decided they also wanted someone who was authentically near their main character's age. So G.K. Bose was out of luck. And they needed someone who could sing. All that made finding the right person tough.
Oh boy, did we ever get lucky.
They put out a worldwide casting call, listened to hundreds of auditions, and still didn't find her. Then the casting director in Hawaii remembered someone she'd heard while helping a local nonprofit find people to sing a jingle.
She just remembered this young woman. There was something about her.
That was Ali Cravalho, a Hawaiian high schooler. She came in for an audition.
See the line where the sky meets the sea. It calls me.
I have to tell you, it was so moving. First of all, she was amazingly good. And then when I took a photograph with her after the audition and she was near our already designed Moana character, she looks like her.
That maybe sounds more like the on-screen world that G.K. Bose gladly left behind. But there was a happy ending for her, too. Bose still got to play Moana, just in the audiobook version.
Unaware of what a close call that had been, and already over the trauma of being in the water, Pua happily nuzzled her face.
The job got her on the cover of Polynesian People magazine, and Bose finally had proof she belonged somewhere and that some group claimed her.
You know, so I kind of was like, look, I told you I wasn't black. Like, I told you I wasn't, like, you know, straight up Latina. I told you I wasn't Cuban. I told you I wasn't, you know, Puerto Rican. Look, I'm Polynesian. It says right here, Polynesian People magazine. That's me.
So does Bose think casting directors should find voice actors who authentically represent the characters they play or not? I asked her that. And she says she has no idea. For The World, Rupa Shenoy.
Rupa is with me now to talk a bit more about this, because I read something on our own site, PRI.org, about this last week. Ada Singh wrote about how actors of color have traditionally and overwhelmingly been relegated to one-dimensional roles as bad guys. Did you meet any actors who talked about that?
I did. I spent time with a guy named Kelvin Han Yi, who actually played the police chief on Hawaii Five-0.
So now that the case is closed and your record's clear, HPD would like to reinstate you at the rank of lieutenant.
I truly appreciate the offer, sir. But we're doing great work over at 5-0. That's my home now.
Hawaii 5-0 made headlines a few months ago when two of its Asian stars left, right?
Yeah, those were Korean-Americans Daniel Dae Kim and Grace Park. They said they weren't getting paid as much as the white actors. And since then, they've been replaced, actually.
Wow.
Yi says, in a weird way, what happened there actually shows progress, because at least now there are Asian-American stars who are big enough that they can say no to a part, because most Asian-American actors still don't have that ability. They're scrounging for jobs. Yi says he agreed to play bad guys for years because at least in those roles, he doesn't help fuel the stereotype of Asian-American men as emasculated.
The bad guys are at least masculine, and many, many Asian male characters that you see in scripts are demasculated in some way. And I turned those roles down, limiting my employability and my casting and my insurance.
Wow, so many sonic layers we don't hear behind those voices. Really incredible.
Yeah, and what I found really interesting about Yi is that there's a personal toll behind him trying to change these stereotypes, because he wanted people to see Chinese Americans like himself as just normal Americans, and he gave up a lot to accomplish that.
I broke my parents' heart. I broke their heart. I have guilt about it. I believe I put him in the grave.
Wow, it sounds like he's bearing a burden.
He is, definitely. Because he still asks himself if all of his whole career was worth it.
What I continue to notice, especially as an older Asian actor, is that when I audition for things, I am almost never called upon to play my own experience. I am called upon to play the other.
So, Rupa, what is Yi doing now?
He's been cast in the HBO sci-fi drama Westworld. Have you seen it?
I have not. I saw the original movie with Yul Brynner back in the 70s. I need to come up for air for this one.
I actually think you'd really like it. He plays a guy who lays train tracks in the American West, and that's actually something one of his granddads did in real life. Mm. But he says this character has real depth.
Well, comparatively, this is progress for Yi. Rupa, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Rupa Shenoy of the World's Otherhood podcast. You can find it wherever you find your podcasts.